Christmas, everyone. It's December 26th of 2010. Pastor Jim is here in the studio with me. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We are Beacon of Hope Ministries, and this is Living the Good Life. And I'm so glad you're here with me today.
I am so glad to be here.
You enjoy this ministry, don't you?
I do. I love being on the radio.
You really do. You've been with us at Beacon now 2 years, and now one of my associate pastors. And what a joy you are, Pastor Jim. And I heard from one of our good friends in Indiana that listens a lot and said, I just love that Pastor Jim. You know, he's never met you. He's a good friend of mine, Brother Lloyd, and never met you, but he just loves it when you're on the radio. And all of our radio team, don't you love how what a great team that we have?
We've got a great team for the radio, and it's just such a joy to be on and to share the gospel, to talk about the word. I just love doing that.
So. Exactly. Isn't it fun? Actually, one of our people and I were at lunch today after church, and one of the waitress there is somebody we've talked to before at that restaurant and shared the word with and shared the Lord. And that lady said today, I've been listening to that radio show. So I won't call her out by name, but that's cool. And if she's listening, I hope she's blessed today. So, it's just a joy to know that people are listening and they are hearing the word of God, and that's what it's all about, Pastor Jim, that we just give out the word of God, the living word of God, and it changes lives.
Right. It's not about us.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not about, it's not about me and you. And
no.
It's about sharing the word. Woo. In fact, that's what our motto, if you will, for the church is, you know, we're the word of God. Brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what it's all about.
It's all about the Word of God.
Amen.
It really is. It's not about personalities. It's not about productions or any of that. It is about sharing the Word, and that's what we're into at Living the Good Life. You have plenty of time to call a friend or relative and invite them to listen in today. We are live, as always, on this show, and this is Christmas, December 26th. So we have a lot to share on the birth of Jesus and some insights, and we've got some interesting things to talk about today. But you know, Pastor Jim, right before we went on the air, we discussed the fact that we always just let the Holy Spirit lead, don't we?
Amen.
We don't really know how this is going to turn out.
We have kind of a general idea.
For those of you that watch regularly, this is kind of only shows me when we're supposed to do songs or talk about the ministry or that kind of thing. It's not, we don't have any idea except for a general theme of where we're going in the show. We so let the Holy Spirit lead.
Right. We're pretty much unscripted.
We're definitely unscripted. You don't have a script you're reading from,
no,
right?
No,
we're just relaxing and having a good time. Yeah. And even Brother Bill, our engineer, is out there making coffee and I don't know what all he's doing. He's a good guy. We love him. And it's been a great joy this year to have Engineer Bill join us on Living the Good Life.
Yes, it has. Thank you so much.
You're just a crazy guy, and we just love having you around.
And I'd like to send a shout out to all those that live in the good life. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Oh, you're so sweet. And I hear, Bill, that you got to interview Governor Charlie Crist yesterday.
That is correct, on the Buddy Verdi Show.
Oh, all right. So that's cool. That's great.
And don't forget to your wonderful book, is it doing so well, I hear?
Actually, the book is doing great, and we're excited about it. And I was just telling Pastor Jim that I was able today at lunch to give a copy away to someone who has been clean now a year and a half. It's a book about addiction, and it's Letters to Lori, which is a book I wrote in May of this year, just came out, to my daughter. And it's doing great, and we've sent a lot to the prison where my daughter is, and a lot of copies. We're getting letters, good response, and it's also on Amazon.com, or you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Thanks for mentioning that, Bill.
No problem. And that other great idea, since Carol's always on, and she's close over there where they pan gold, you know, we can do something, you know, gold for God or something like that.
There you go.
Sponsored by, you know, the people that want to go, sponsored by the Golden Diamond Source, which is right by you.
Right beside us. We're going to have to do something about that.
See how easy that is?
Yes, that is. is. You're just crazy, man.
Thanks a lot.
We love you. All right. Pastor Jim, we're going to talk today about the birth of Jesus. We're going to talk about the main characters in his life. We're going to talk about Mary. We're going to talk about the shepherds. We got a lot of cool things to talk about.
I love this
time of year, don't you?
Oh, me too.
Yeah, there's just insights. And you were sharing with me an insight that you had even this weekend. And so we're going to bring that up in a little while. But speaking of the shepherds, and we're going to start out, with the event in Luke 2 about the birth of Jesus. And we're going to start out talking about the shepherds in just a moment. This first song really is talking about David, the shepherd boy. It's a Ray Bolts song. We love Ray Bolts. I've known him for years. Not well, but I know him. And we used to go to the same church in Indiana many, many years ago. This is a song that he wrote. And we know that Jesus is in the line of David.
Amen.
And that fulfilled prophecy. He was in the line of Abraham, in the line of David. And we're going to talk about some of those prophecies fulfilled. Listen to this great song, Shepherd Boy.
One by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. And each one passed, except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd, God may see a king, even though your life seems filled with ordinary things. In just a moment, he can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see. Sometimes it's hard to understand, and things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in his hand.
God. God sees a king, but others may see a shepherd boy. Pastor Jim. Woo! The gospel is for everyone. And so often, I think people do not feel worthy of this wonderful gift of Jesus, you know? And we're going to talk today about how Jesus came to this earth and why. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Let's start with verse 18. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered that she was pregnant. But it was by the Holy Spirit, and he didn't know that. Joseph was chagrined but noble. I kind of like that about Joseph. We talked about this last week. Determined to take care of things quietly so that Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure this out, he had a dream. And I love the way the Christmas story, God continually came in dreams, in angels, and Gabriel was a pretty busy guy, wasn't he, during this time, Pastor Jim?
He was very busy.
God's angel spoke in a dream. We don't know if that angel was Gabriel, but we know it was Gabriel that came to Mary. And anyway, he said, Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, we'll name him Jesus. And that is the essence of the gospel right there. You will name him Jesus. God saves because he will save his people from their sins. And this will bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to full term. And they quote here in Matthew. Matthew quotes Isaiah 7:14. And this was a prophecy that was fulfilled with the birth of Jesus, was it not?
Amen.
And that prophecy says this, a virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. God came to this earth in the form of a babe. And I love the fact that starting in verse 24, Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary and so forth. You know, I love this, Pastor Jim. It shows how human Joseph was. We kind of touched on this last week on the radio show, how human and how in a lot of our minds we would have had a hard time if we were Joseph following through with that, would we not?
Well, and think of the disgrace not only for him, I mean, for both he and Mary. I mean, Mary, because it, for all intents and purposes, people are just going to assume she got pregnant out of wedlock.
Absolutely. Yes.
Which was, under the law, worthy of death.
Of death. Exactly right.
Joseph, too. I mean, people are going to think, well, if it wasn't Joseph,
right,
then who was it?
Right.
And did Joseph commit this a terrible act?
Right.
You know, it was just, it looked bad all the way around.
It's socially unacceptable.
Very.
Yeah.
But, it says Joseph was just.
Yes.
You know, he was righteous. He knew what the law said. But even, you know, he tempered that with a lot of mercy because it says he just wanted to put her away quietly.
Yeah, he was noble, it said. I like that.
He didn't want to go out and start throwing stones at her.
Exactly.
Which is what the law said to do, was to stone a person. But he decided, well, no, I think I just want to put her away quietly.
Right.
Okay, now I have to step in the right direction, you know.
And I love the Christmas story both in Luke and in Matthew, Pastor Jim, because the writers use the word suddenly a lot. Translated, that's the way it's translated in the Message Bible. In other words, we're going along our way and then suddenly, here comes God, right? And intervenes. And that's what happened on this particular night. Joseph had a dream and
suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to him.
Yes.
And said, okay. You just need a little education here.
Right, exactly.
And the angel explained to Joseph what was going on. And what is so great is then Joseph, as soon as he wakes up, boom.
Yes.
He goes out and marries her.
Right.
He marries Mary.
Right.
And it's like he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't stop and think, well, you know, was this really from God? Was this, you know, maybe I better go talk to the rabbi and the council of elders and make sure that this is from God. For whatever reason, he knew.
He knew. I love
my
that.
My personal thing is he had that peace.
Yes.
You know, that peace in his heart.
Yes.
You know, this happened, and I believe what the angel said, so I'm going to take Mary for my wife.
Amen.
And
he
did.
He says he woke up, he did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream, he married Mary. You know, that is verse 24 of Matthew 1. So I love that point that you just made, that Joseph immediately, not only did he believe the angel, But he obeyed
right.
and did what God said to do. And he did it, and look what happened. Now, I also, in the dream, Joseph is told what to name the child.
Right.
And I pointed this out last week. There were seven people in the Bible who were named before they were born. Jesus is number seven of those. And his name was to be Jesus because it meant Jehovah is our salvation. Yeshua, Jehovah is our salvation. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned last week, if you take notes, you may want to write these down one more time. There are five meanings to the name of Jesus and what it really means there. The first one, of course, is salvation. The second one is deliverance. He's our deliverer. The third one is our safety. He mm-hmm. is our safety, our rescue. The fourth one is our helper, which I love that because that's what the Holy Spirit came to do. He's our helper.
Right.
And the fifth one is our prosperer, which we're going to start a new series next Sunday on that prosperity, the power of prosperity. So tune in for that. So let's go to Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And we know that he had some visitors, do we not? We're going to talk about both sets of visitors.
Right.
So since we're in Matthew chapter 2, let's just talk about this first set. And you are such a scholar, Pastor Jim. I love your knowledge. You know so much about the kings. Let's read a little bit here, and then we'll talk about it. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which, by the way, is another prophecy that was right. fulfilled. In fact, there are seven major prophecies, and there's a lot of others, but seven, and you taught on this on a Wednesday night mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago
right.
at Beacon of Hope. One of them was that Jesus, the Messiah, would come through the line of
Abraham,
yep.
Jacob,
all right,
Judah,
yes,
David,
there we go, all of that, and it was all fulfilled exactly that way because Jesus came through the line of David, both on his mother's side, Mary,
and
his foster father, Joseph, yes, and we also know that it was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem, and that's from Micah 5:2, okay, and that's quoted here in Matthew mm-hmm. chapter 2. And it says the prophet Micah wrote, and Micah wrote hundreds of years before Jesus.
Micah wrote around the same time as Isaiah. So that's, we're talking 700 years before
exactly.
Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, this is fascinating. I love the prophecy fulfilled. And Micah wrote, it's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader, you who will shepherd, rule my people, my Israel. Do you want to comment on Micah 5:2, Pastor Jim?
Well, Micah, who happened, you know, prophesied this, and it's amazing because, like you said, the major prophecies, there's nobody else that could have fulfilled all these.
Absolutely.
And not even just the birth prophecies. There are prophecies concerning Jesus' life.
Yes.
His death, his yes. resurrection, his ascension.
Right.
And we won't even get into a second coming.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, all of those up to the second coming, those have been fulfilled.
They've all been fulfilled.
And it's
down to the T. I mean, isn't that cool?
There is no one else who could have fulfilled
Amen.
All of those prophecies.
Yes.
So either he is the Son of God, or we can be like Herod and just ignore what's plainly in front of us.
Exactly.
Because that's what Herod did. I mean, you know, it says Herod the king heard this. He was troubled. He heard these wise men, this magi had come.
Yes.
So he asked, okay, where's this child going to be born? He wanted to know where the Messiah was
right.
going to be born, and yet it wasn't to worship him.
Yes.
He wanted to destroy him.
Exactly.
And, you know, I was thinking about that too this week, and it's like, that's just crazy.
But he didn't want to take a chance that he was thinking more in terms of political
right.
Kingship, don't you think, instead of the Lord of our lives.
Right, he was unwilling to give up his power.
Throne, his power, yes.
That he was going to have to give up his power, and certainly his own self-will he would have had to
right.
have given up. But, I mean, it's like he obviously believed the prophecy.
Right.
Because where did he go? He went to Bethlehem.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, he sent the Magi to Bethlehem.
Exactly.
So he obviously believed the prophecy, and yet it's like, I just don't get it. I mean, I'm really kind of dumbfounded. You believe the prophecy because that's where you send the magi, and yet you won't bow your heart
right.
to the prophecy.
Right.
You know, you won't bow your heart to the word.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That just...
Well, and we see these wise men seeing the star and all of this. So many of us have heard this story. And you're down here in about 7 or 8 of mm-hmm. Matthew 2, where Herod... and in verse 9, let's start there. Would you start there and read and feel free to comment on that?
Okay. After listening to the king, they, the magi, went on their way.
The wise men, yeah.
And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was.
Mm-hmm.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him.
Praise God.
Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream, again in a dream, not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Oh, there's so much in here.
Oh, isn't there? Oh, my.
You know, they go back out, they see the star. And even though they need to go to Bethlehem, the star is still moving.
Right.
Okay, if you can see me on video, you can see I'm moving my hand. The star is moving.
Right.
And then it comes to rest over where the child was.
Yes.
And I don't know if that star was a conjunction of planets. I personally think it was just some special
star
phenomenon that God just created for that
right.
special moment. But it just was over the place where the child was.
Yes.
And then they go in and they worship him. Okay. No man, according to Scripture, is ever to be worshipped.
Right.
And, you know, Mary and Joseph did not stop the wise men from worshiping Jesus.
Right. They knew.
Because they knew. They had an idea that this child was something completely different.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, you know, the wise men gave them their treasures.
Yes.
Gold and frankincense and myrrh. And, you know, I always look for those.
Go ahead.
Those meanings.
Go
there.
Right ahead.
Gold. Well, who gets gold but a king?
A king.
You know,
it's
the
always
gold,
talking about divinity, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah. Yes. The gold was for his kingship.
Yes.
The frankincense, which is incense,
right.
was for his divinity.
Okay.
Because Jesus, of course, was fully human, but also fully God. And then the myrrh, that was one of the spices that you would wrap a dead body in.
Right.
And that was for his sacrifice.
Right.
So the gifts of the wise men cover Jesus as king.
Yes.
Jesus as God and Jesus as sacrifice. Jesus as the Lamb of God.
Amen. And there were three gifts, and that three is always talking, it is symbolizing the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you said before we went on the air that some people have thought there were a lot more wise men than three.
I read somewhere there could have possibly been 12. I think the number three was chosen, and, you know, I love We Three Kings.
Right.
But I think the number three was chosen because that was the number of gifts. I mean,
right.
Scripture is actually silent. It just says wise men.
Wise men, right.
You know, came from the east.
Yeah.
So we know it was more. The only thing we know for sure is it was more than one.
And I find it very interesting here that this star, they see this star, they observe it, and they know something special is happening. And this was not foreign to people at this time that they were expecting, that Israel was expecting their Messiah, right?
Yeah. Daniel chapter 9.
Right. I mean, it was this.
The prophecy in Daniel was, given a prophecy.
People knew.
That from the issuing of an edict to restore
right.
Jerusalem,
right.
there would be 70 weeks total, but 69 up to the time of the Messiah.
Right.
And, you know, there's two good possibilities for, you know, the date of that edict, one in 458 B.C., one in 445. And both of those.
And a week was not a week. We're not talking about a normal week here, like 69 weeks. We're talking
69 weeks of years. So 483
weeks of years. Yeah.
So from the edict, if it was 458, that puts you up to 25
right.
A.D., which is about the time that John the Baptist ministry started.
Right.
The one in 445, if, and some scholars believe this one to be the correct one, that they take the 360 lunar year,
right,
and count that, including the leap years, comes up to be, I forget the exact date, but basically the 14th of the month of Nisan in 32 AD,
okay,
which is possibly the date that Jesus was crucified.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's in that range anyway. We may not know the exact date.
That's why the expectation was so high, because
people knew.
People who had studied the book of Daniel knew that the time was drawing near.
It was drawing near, yes.
And there was a whole lot of expectation among the Jewish people that, you know, the Messiah would come. And, you know, it was the dating of Daniel plus the fact that, once again, they were controlled by a foreign country. At this point in time, Rome ruled there. And they were looking, you know, they were looking for a deliverer.
They were looking for a political leader, deliverer that would take,
that would get
so
rid
there
of
was that air of expectancy is what we're saying. And even Mary and Joseph, both of them growing up as good Jewish children, would have known all of that, that this time was coming. So in a way, God had prepared their hearts. You know, I'm sure they didn't have any idea that they would be the ones that would be chosen, you know, to be the parents of this precious Messiah. But it's just fascinating to me, the prophecies fulfilled, Pastor Jim. And you did such a great job a couple Wednesday nights ago, Bible study, talking about all of those. There are so many. Clear back to the book of Genesis, aren't there? That was just fulfilled one after another in the Messiah, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked because we both went to Ball State University. We were part of Campus Crusade for Christ a long time ago. There was a great book at that time, and I'm sure it's out there somewhere, Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. For those, there might be some skeptics that are listening saying, I don't know about this being historically correct. It is. And that book is great because it says Jesus was either the Lord or a liar.
Or a lunatic.
And so it really is an excellent book for any skeptics that might be in our audience. Mm-hmm. Josh McDowell's book on Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and then the sequel, More Evidence That Demands a Verdict. So, but anyway, go ahead with your thought on the wise men. Was there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Well, just, I think, too, I want to get back to the worshiping for just a minute.
Yes, let's do.
We know under the law, no one could be worshipped except the Lord God.
Yes.
And yet here they fell before Jesus and worshipped him.
Amen.
And that shouldn't escape. I mean, that's so important because, you know, in other places where Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet and tried to worship Peter, Peter said, no.
No, don't
I'm
do
just
that.
A man like you. Don't do that. That's in Acts chapter 10.
Right.
But here, Mary and Joseph allowed the wise men to worship Jesus.
Because they knew in their hearts.
They knew. I mean, and I'm sure we'll get to it again in Luke. Mary knew because the angel had told her who this child was going to be. And she knew. And so did Joseph because the angel told him, this child is conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Wow. One thing that I think that bears repeating here that we kind of touched on last week was the obedience factor here. Mm-hmm. Last week on the show, with Carol, we really talked a lot about the obedience of not only Mary and Joseph, but Elizabeth, and then eventually Zechariah, who fell in line after he preliminarily did not want to get on board with this whole thing.
He had 9 months to think about it.
But how the four of them allowed God to use them in this wonderful event.
Right.
To bring this child to the earth. And John the Baptist coming from Elizabeth and Zechariah, the cousin of Jesus. And how all of this speaks of obedience, of people listening to the voice of the Lord. And I think that's critical right here at this Christmas season, mm-hmm. Pastor Jim.
Well, and Joseph, in the passage we just read, Zechariah, certainly, he said, well, how can this be?
Right.
I'm old, she's old, she's barren, how can this be?
And that was a voice of doubt from Zechariah.
And of course, then he was struck dumb, mute.
That's in Luke 1, but go ahead.
Very possibly deaf.
Yeah.
Because it says that they had to make signs after John was born. So apparently, not only was he mute, he may have well been deaf,
too. Oh, yeah, that's a good point, yes.
But, and then, of course, you know, Elizabeth, wow, I'm pregnant, hooray!
Yeah, an older person.
Yeah, yeah.
An older person. Really old. Yeah.
And then Mary, where she, I mean, I just love that, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word.
Oh, amen.
That's obedience.
That's obedience.
And she, I mean, the thing with Mary is, and I may be jumping ahead.
No, you go. You know, I don't know where the Holy Spirit's leading us, so you go right ahead.
The angel came to her and explained all this, and we'll probably get into that about the whole, how it was going to happen. And, you know, Mary said, how will this be, or how shall this be?
Yes.
Since I'm a virgin.
Right.
She was not doubting. She just was, okay, how are you going to do this?
Exactly.
I'm just curious how.
Right.
But then she said, okay, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word.
Amen.
That her, and I'm not elevating Mary, you know, above anybody else, but her willingness right then and there.
Yes.
To say yes to God changed history.
Oh, absolutely. And you're talking from Luke 1. So those of you in our listening audience, go over with us to Luke 1. And about, let's see, it's about verse 35, perhaps, where the angel says, 34, where Mary says to the angel, but how can this be?
How will this be?
How will this be? She didn't say, there's no way here, angel. There is no way, Gabriel, that this can happen. I mean, she doesn't argue. She just simply states a fact. I've never slept with a man.
Right.
She doesn't say this is impossible. And the angel says, and he says how this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. We're in verse 35 now of Luke chapter 1, not Matthew, Luke. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called the Holy Son of God. And then the angel says something. I think it's great. Oh, by the way, did you know that your old cousin Elizabeth is pregnant? You know, I love that. I don't think that Mary knew at this point.
Yeah, apparently not, because you said, and behold, your relative Elizabeth is, you know, 5 months pregnant, 6 months pregnant. So,
right. You know, everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I love the next line, one of my favorite lines in the entire Bible. Nothing you see is impossible with God. That's what the angel said to Mary. And Mary did not argue about that. What do you mean nothing's impossible? Mary didn't do that. I love the next part. You want to read that? That last part there, verse 37 and 8.
Yeah, the angel said, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Wow. That is a conscious decision on the part of Mary's heart, her life, her mind, to say, okay, God, whatever you want, that's okay with me. Let it be according to what you want. Let it be according to your word.
Right. And I actually have a little teaching written down this margin here.
Go ahead.
The promise was that nothing would be impossible with God.
Yes.
That was the promise. That was her rhema word.
Exactly. You may have to explain rhema to some of our listening audience versus rhema and logos.
Yeah, there are two main words in Greek for word. One is logos, which is the, in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, talking about Jesus, the logos. The universal word of God.
Right.
There's also a second word, which is rhema, which is the spoken word of God.
Yes.
Which is that personal word of God, that word that we receive. Like the Bible itself, the whole Bible is the logos, the word of God.
It's all the word.
But to our listeners, you've probably read it, and all of a sudden a scripture just jumps out at you.
Right. I love that when it happens.
Boom. Oh, wow. I never saw this in the Bible before.
Yes.
That's when it becomes rhema, a personal word spoken directly to you. And the word here that Mary uses in verse 39, Mary said, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your rhema, your personal word to me.
Yes. And praise God.
You know, that's her first response is,
right.
Okay, I'm going to submit to the word.
Yes.
Let it be done to me according to how you've spoken. And we all need that in our own lives. I was, again, kind of mulling over this this whole past week and thinking, how many promises do we receive daily, weekly, annually from God? I mean, how many rhema words? And we need to always have that humility where we say, okay, be it done to me according to that
absolutely.
Word.
Line ourselves up with the rhema word, the personal word that God speaks to you
right.
and says, this is for you. Yes.
And then later on, I'm sure we'll go into more detail, but down in verse 45,
yes.
And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. That's Mary's second response. She gets
Amen.
Blessed.
Yes.
Blessed is she who believed
exactly.
that this would come to pass. And that's Elizabeth talking to Mary.
Yeah.
Kind of Elizabeth prophesying to Mary.
Right.
Blessed
yes.
are you because you believed
it. You believed
this.
It.
You know, it's not you're blessed because you're something special.
Right.
It's you're blessed because you're a believer. And then Mary's third response is, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You believe Woo! God's word and you can't, you know, it gets down in your spirit and you have to start shouting about it.
You have to
start proclaiming it like
Absolutely.
Mary did. You know, she went to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Spirit. John jumps for joy in the womb.
Yes.
And
everybody's happy.
Right. And you know, Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women, and
yes.
blessed is the fruit of your womb.
He's all fired up today. Usually,
isn't he?
Yeah, usually he's just kind of quiet.
Oh, no, he's really. He's
fired
on
up today.
Yeah,
yeah I can tell.
I love Christmas. And every year I read this, you know, Matthew
yes,
chapter 1 and Luke chapters 1 and 2.
It just gets to you, doesn't it?
Every year.
Yes.
Something new happened. And I told you this morning, I got kind of my own little rhema word yesterday.
Right.
From later on in this, in Luke chapter 2. But, you know, Mary, and then Elizabeth says, you're blessed.
Right.
Because, and when Mary says, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, well, some people have taken that to mean, well, her name is really the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Right.
Well, okay, I'm the Blessed Pastor Jim.
Right.
You're the Blessed Pastor
yeah,
Marcia.
Just means that you're favored and loved
and
happy to be envied is what that word means.
Right, because according to Elizabeth, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the
yes.
Lord had spoken. So if you believe what God has said, you're
Woo!
Blessed
Amen,
along with
brother.
The Virgin Mary.
So this goes right along with people, with our listening audience, that some of you are struggling with issues in your life. And the point here is get the rhema word, get God's personal word for your life. Believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Stand on it. Don't back off of it. If you have financial issues going on in your life, Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all my needs right. according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And if that is your promise, then be like Mary and say, I put myself in agreement with that rhema word right now for my life. If anybody is ill out there today, very sick, and you're struggling physically, God's word says in Psalm 103, verse 3, to David wrote these words, bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless, forget none of his benefits.
Right. And then in 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed me of all my destructions.
Delivered me. Yeah.
1 Peter 2:24,
yes.
by his stripes you were healed.
Yes.
You know, you get a hold of those words and you say, okay, I'm the bond slave of the Lord.
Amen.
Be it done to me,
Woo!
Lord, according to your word.
You line yourself up, you know, and, you know, I was awake a lot in the night last night praying about this. And I kept hearing these words that you just said, that Mary said, be it done to me according to your word. Okay, I just kept hearing that in my spirit last night. You know, where you're praying and you just keep hearing a concept. And that's what I kept hearing. And I kept saying to God, yes, God, that's for me. Be it done to me, God, according to your word. Mm-hmm. That is what I claim for my life. And those of you listening to this show now or in the future, because it's on our website as of tomorrow morning, you need to grab this for
right.
yourself. Grab it. Be it done to me, God, according to your word. That is not just something special and reserved for Mary. This is for each of us. We put ourselves, we make the decision to obey.
Right.
We make the decision to line ourselves up with the word of God. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. We've got a great song. It's one of your favorite songs, How Many Kings, by the group Down Here. Let's listen.
Star to a place unexpected, would you believe after all? rejected a child in a manger. Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings stepped down?
Step down from their thrones, Jesus.
I was going to say, I can only think
of
one.
Praise God. Jesus, step down, all for you and all for me. I love that song. If you just joined us, this is Beacon of Hope Ministries, a global ministry. This is our radio outreach. Whoa, living the good life. Pastor Jim and Pastor Marcia right here talking about the Word of God. How many people? You can actually email us. We've got this up now. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Mm-hmm. Right now, Pastor Jim's got it open in front of him if you want to make a comment, or if you want to say Merry Christmas to us or something like that, or if you want to ask a question, you can do that for the remainder of the show. It's up now. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Pastor Jim, we're talking about the obedience of Mary. We're talking about the obedience of Joseph. We're talking about how Jesus willingly, his obedience, he willingly fulfilled the will of the Father and said, I'll go to earth. I'll show them what you're all about, Father. I'll be born as a baby. I'll let go of my deity for a while and be human, fully human, you know, and I will live this life and show them you. You know, I love it. I just, you know, it's just incredible.
It's mind-boggling
what God did here, how much he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. Wow.
And that's a Christmas verse.
Ooh, it really is. It's a Christmas verse. It really is. And we use it all the time for salvation, which is what it is. But Christmas is about salvation.
Exactly.
Jesus is our Savior.
Right.
You know?
Because I kind of made this point last Wednesday at the Christmas, well, it was our Christmas Eve service 2 days before, but...
It was great. You did a great job.
Thank you. But, you know, we can't stop with the manger.
Right.
Because Jesus' life obviously didn't stop with the manger.
No.
He didn't just stay in the manger.
No.
He grew up.
Yes.
You know, experienced everything we experienced.
Right.
Went to the cross for us, took our sins. The sinless one took all of our sins.
Amen.
And then, wonder of wonders, he rose from the dead.
Amen.
And showing to the world, yeah, I am the Son of God.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Here's proof. I'm rising from the dead.
And he said he was the Son of God, you know. But his obedience, you know. And we were talking before that song about Mary and Joseph and their obedience. Pastor Jim, I think so often, and maybe some in our radio audience can relate to this today, that it is hard for people to align themselves up with a promise in the Word of God. You know, and one of the reasons I think it's hard is because we as human beings, we are by nature, I think, negative. We are by nature doubtful.
Thank you, Adam.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Thank you.
By nature, that's our Adam nature that we inherited. By nature, we are skeptical. You know, there might be some out there listening right now. They say, oh, well, I'm skeptical. Rah, 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 rah. You know, have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, and that skepticism goes out the window. You begin to realize he is really Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a liar or a lunatic. But I think, Pastor Jim, that some in our audience may say, you know, I hear this Christmas story all the time. How does it apply to me? And I really want us to talk for just a minute about that change that happens in people's lives when they become in alignment with be it done to me, God, according to your word. When they say like Mary, okay, I will obey. Regardless of whether I'm talked about, regardless of whether I'm an outcast, whether or not I'm different than everybody else. You know, so often I feel different. I don't know about you, but I feel so different in different settings, you know, that I know that the most important person in my entire life is my Lord and Savior Jesus and my relationship with God.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is number one for me. And all other relationships, even though my children, though I love and adore, and my grandchildren and my family and my, you know, my whole family, my parents, all that. Yes, they have a place in my life. But number one is God. And you see this in Mary's life, don't you?
She was willing to risk everything.
Yes, she risked it all.
Yeah, I mean, she risked, basically, well, like we said when we were talking about Matthew's gospel, she risked her life to do this, because under the law, I mean, think about the you know, when they drug the adulteress before Jesus.
That's
in
right.
John chapter 8. You know, under the law, they had a right to stone Mary.
Exactly.
So, you know, she was willing to be obedient to the point of death, if
Amen.
Need be.
Amen. And I think that we need to make this point today. You know, it's not just about the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus becomes extremely personal in our lives when we realize that God always gives us an opportunity to accept by faith the birth of Jesus and all of this that we're reading, or we can be skeptical and reject. And then God will take us around the mountain of experiences in our life and give us another opportunity and another opportunity.
Right.
But the bottom line is, the sooner we submit to Jesus as Lord of our lives and put him in that place, number one, in our lives, as Mary and Joseph did, obviously, as Elizabeth and eventually Zachariah did, as they got in line with the plan and purpose of God, their lives were forever changed because of obedience.
Mm-hmm. And even in Zechariah's case.
Yes.
Where he didn't believe.
That's Luke 1, by the way.
Back to Luke chapter 1. Apparently, Elizabeth believed enough for both of them.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know how she got. I have a feeling that you know, it says when Zechariah came out, they knew he'd seen a vision. I mean,
and an angel, again, that's the angel right. that appeared to him in Luke chapter 1.
He'd seen a vision of an angel who yeah. announced John's birth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure Elizabeth heard about that. And
right.
I don't know if she knew what the specific promise was, but after a while she realized, oh boy, now I know what this promise was. You know, because all of a sudden she's pregnant. And she
yes.
said, I thank God who's taken away my disgrace.
Well, and that's a good point because, you know, so often, let's make this personal. Let's bring this right down to us. So often our circumstances look so bad, Pastor Jim, that it looks like there's no human answer to them. Okay. And when we get a hold of God's promise, you know, when we say, okay, like Mary, be it done to me according to your word, I fall in agreement with that promise and your word. Look at Elizabeth. I love the fact that God took a like with Sarah in the Old Testament and Abraham that were so old and yet mm-hmm. conceived. Here we have Elizabeth that is so old that people had said, oh, she's the barren one. They had quit calling her, you know, Elizabeth. They called her, it says in Scripture, the barren one, you know. And she was known as the one who couldn't have any kids. You know, it was kind of an outcast in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
It was a disgrace.
Yes, it was a disgrace not to bear children.
Right. And yet, on Mary, she's a young teenager, 13 to 15, and here she is pregnant. That's also a disgrace.
Yes, just the opposite.
Just the opposite, but still a disgrace, you know? And all of that shows us how God is constantly taking impossible situations in our lives and showing his power through a miracle.
Well, and that's just it. It takes an impossibility
Amen.
To have a miracle.
Yeah, if it were possible, it wouldn't be a miracle.
Right. And here, it's impossible because Elizabeth is really, really old. And she's
yes.
been barren. Apparently,
yes.
she could not have any children.
Right.
So here was an impossibility. And then, boom, Mary, who is a virgin.
Yes.
Becomes pregnant. Now, that's an impossibility also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I love that about God, don't you? Because then the angel is able to make the point. We're back to Luke chapter 1 about verse 37 or 8. Nothing you see is impossible with God.
Right.
And that's the point right here. Dear one, whatever you're going through in your life, It's time for you to grab a hold of this Rhema word for you. Like we said earlier, we don't plan how the show's going to go, but I'm telling you right now, this is for at least one person in our listening audience today, Pastor Jim, that is facing very difficult, daunting circumstances that they have no answer for, and they don't know how to get out of the mess they're in.
And that's okay.
And that's
because
okay.
Because God will do it.
Woo!
I mean,
talk about that, Pastor Jim.
Well,
I'm putting him on the spot.
Well,
here.
No, but when there's no way out, God has to intervene.
Woo. Amen.
Daniel in the lion's den.
There yes.
was in the physical world, there was no way out for him.
Right.
He was tossed into a den full of hungry lions.
Amen.
He should have been torn to shreds, but instead, an angel of the Lord shows up, and the lions just sit there.
Jonah.
Jonah's
swallowed by a and he's a type of Jesus.
Right.
I mean, you know, being in the earth for 3 days
right.
and three
Jonah's
nights.
Swallowed by the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego
oh,
in the
fiery furnace. We could just go on and on and on.
I mean, there's all
Gideon,
these examples.
You know, David, Goliath. You know, all the way through the Bible,
right.
we see the examples of impossible situations.
Right, and I mean, as far as healing, there's.
Yeah.
The widows. There were two widows in the Old Testament who got their sons back. One through
right.
Elijah, one through Elisha.
Yes.
The widow of Nain. Jesus raised her son from the dead.
Exactly.
You know,
modern day answers to physical illness and cancer. We've seen them in our ministry.
We've seen
healings, people
yes.
last year, two of our people healed of cancer and with diagnosis that weren't very good when they first came out. We have seen some tremendous answers to prayer.
Yes,
well,
we have.
And even the little baby Addison this year, just a few weeks back, and all the physical problems that she was encountering. And now, I mean, healthy and just doing great and answers answers to prayer right and left we have been seeing. And so you out there in our listening audience, no matter how desperate you feel right this moment, because a lot of times at the holidays, people feel even more desperate than ever before, especially if it's a financial pressure or a physical issue that is so pressing on them.
Right, because this is the time of the year when you're supposed to be happy.
I mean, yes, you're supposed to be.
Everyone expects you to be happy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's going to come from true joy comes from a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, that's why I'm so joyful around this season, because it's my Lord.
Right.
It's the, you know, and I don't, not that I honestly believe that Jesus was born on December 25th.
No, in fact, it's probably summertime or something like that.
Late spring. Summer, early
yeah.
fall,
right.
probably.
That's what they say.
And, you know, but this day's as good, or yesterday, it's the 25th, is as good as any day.
Right, let's
we
just
don't
celebrate
know the exact
it. Yeah. Works out and, well with snow, you know,
yes.
even though we don't have any today in Florida, but they do in Georgia, so.
Yes, well, and come Tuesday, you never know.
You never know. But your point, really, go ahead.
Well, the point is, don't let the world tell you how to act at this time or any time, because let the Lord do that.
Right.
And if you have the Lord, you and the Lord is a majority in any situation.
Praise God.
You know?
You know we're just preaching ourselves happy here, Pastor Jim.
I know we are. But it's just so important, especially now, because it's so easy to get all caught up with, oh, I got to buy this present, I got to do this, I got to send out for Christmas.
Yeah, it's not even what it's about.
And I caught myself getting into that right after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I got to put up the tree, got to get out the Christmas cards. And you set those expectations for yourself, and when I didn't get out the Christmas cards right away, it's like, oh, what am I going to do?
Right.
But you know what? Then I settled back, and I thought, no. I'm losing the vision of this whole thing.
Exactly.
This is all about Jesus, not about, I'll get the cards done, and I got the cards sent. Got all the presents bought. Because in a sense, I did submit all that to Jesus. I just said, okay, help me do this.
Yeah, exactly. Woo. So it's all about this personal relationship with God. And it's all about getting to a point in our lives and our walk with God that we obediently say, let it be done to me according to your word. And that we listen to the voice of the Lord to get that word, you know?
Well, and that's
obviously so critical.
If you don't read your Bible.
Right. And if you don't go to church, and it's not that you have to go to church to get to heaven. It's not like that. But you go because you want to learn the word. You want to fellowship with other people. You want to develop those bonds with others, you know?
And there's strength.
Strength as we pray together.
Strength. I mean, the church is compared to a temple of living stones.
Right.
Well, if you're just out there by yourself, you can be plucked up by anybody.
Well, you get so easily distracted. But when you're in the service and you're worshiping and you're hearing the word and you're being prayed for and all of that, wow. And even though we were few in number today, we had a mighty service.
We did have a great service.
Woo! Let's go station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister here with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. We have another associate, Pastor Michelle Cardinal.
Yep.
And we are blessed at Beacon of Hope. God is just moving mightily among us and changing lives, healing people. We just mentioned that, and setting people free from all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we welcome you to join us at Beacon of Hope. We've seen several new people in the last few months, and that has been a real blessing. We have new digs. We have a new sanctuary, and we are on a very easy road to find, and it's Almerton in Clearwater, and we're at 3700. And Bill mentioned earlier, we're right beside the Golden Diamond Source. Thank you, Bill. And that's where we are. And we're behind like Five Guys and Poncheros and Papa John's and Little Greek restaurant. Some really good food is right beside us.
So not only do we get fed spiritually,
we have great places
church,
to go.
You know, or even like on Wednesday night before the Bible study. You know, it's usually Poncheros for me.
Yeah, you're a Poncheros guy.
Yeah.
Woo! You can email us today during the show. We have a whole, another whole hour here on Living the Good Life. And just, it's very simple. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you just want to send a hi or Merry Christmas, that's cool. Or if you want to send a question or a comment. Pastor Jim, what happens? We mentioned our Sunday morning service is at 11. And we usually get out around 12:30, 12:45.
Yeah.
But it's as the Holy Spirit leads, because we pray for the people at the end of the service,
right,
and we allow ministry to take place. And sometimes there's words over people. Sometimes there's just strong prayer, mm-hmm, of agreement. But it is a powerful service.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, we've gone through a lot. We're in our 10th year at Beacon of Hope. We've been very large at one time. Then a truck ran through our building a few years back, and we were in storage and in a hotel. And we've been through a lot. So getting a building again that we did in June of this year has just been a tremendous blessing to get all of our furniture and appliances out of storage. And so we had a place that was that we were able to acquire that had just drywall and cement floors. So we have built things, built rooms, and it's just exciting. And we welcome you to join us Sunday morning at 11, 3700 Almerton. Wednesday night at 7. Would you tell our gang out there listening what happens on Wednesday night at 7?
Sure. We have Bible study. Mm-hmm. It's very interactive. There's like usually a topic and like do a short, you know, whoever's leading, Pastor Marcia, myself, Pastor Michelle, we'll do like a short little teaching, but it's, it, you know, well, it actually asks for comments from,
yes,
folks and get people involved and talking
involved
about the word and,
yes,
just discussing.
It's a real Bible study,
yeah,
you know, because we have got our Bibles open and our notebooks and we're going back and forth and we're sharing,
right,
what this means to me or, you know, and what, you know, and we get nitty gritty about things we're struggling with, mm-hmm, on that topic, don't you think?
Right. And then also before Bible study, we always have, on Wednesday night, starting about 6:15, a time of prayer.
Yes,
we get folks together and we do, you know, we do some, take prayer requests and pray over those. We'll use prayers from a book called "Prayers That Avail Much."
Great book,
and just have a good time of prayer before the Bible study starts.
If people have a prayer need, would you tell them about our prayer?
Yes,
email.
I'd love to.
Prayer team.
Yes, we have a prayer team.
Crisis prayer team.
Yeah, basically. If you have a prayer need, you can always send that to prayers, plural, mm-hmm, pray, almost like prayers.
Yeah.
@ Beacon of Hope Ministries, plural. .com.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens then is either myself or one of the others on the prayer team will pick that prayer up, that request up. Usually what we do, we send it out to everybody on the team, but we usually will come up with a prayer, just kind of a sample prayer everybody can pray regarding this. And we have had answers.
Huge.
We have had huge answers through this. And also, please, if you want to become a part of that,
yeah,
email us also if you want to become a part of the prayer team. Because right now we stretch from Florida to Texas to Indiana that I know,
right,
of.
Yeah.
You know, so,
and some out west too,
yeah,
and there's a couple people in Alaska, I think. So there's it's around Alabama, Mississippi,
right,
and of course this station has new stations that have been acquired, and so this show is also live in and able to be reached in different states. So that's cool during the show. So those of you that are, you know, maybe you've never really heard of Beacon of Hope Ministries, we are global and we have an outreach going out and we're getting ready to put some of the Sunday morning sermons on our website and got a little device we have to buy this week, Pastor Jim, to make that happen. But
okay.
But we're starting a new series this next Sunday called The Power of Prosperity. And this has to do with at the church, not here. Yeah, because you already have these on our website by the next morning. Our engineer Bill is going, what are you talking about? What kind of device? No, he is so cool. He records these shows live and then sends them to me by email, which is just amazing to me. And it goes straight to Georgia to our webmaster, Maxine, by Monday morning. And it's up on our website during the day on Monday. And they stay up there. All of 2010 are up there, all these shows. So you
Incredible.
Can go in the middle of the night. You can listen if you can't sleep. It's a great time to get the teaching and listen.
Right.
So beaconofhopeministries.com is that. What I'm talking about, Bill, is that we're getting ready to record the Sunday morning sermons on a device I found at Sam Ash Music that will send it directly to our website.
Oh, wow. You went to Sam Ash and found a device.
Uh-huh. It's kind of cool.
Oh, and you record it right there and it sends it right to your website.
Well, yes. I mean, there's something we have to do to it, but yes, it's pretty easy. Huh. So
I'd like to see that. You know, that gives me a reason to come over and check it out.
There you go.
Oh,
come to church. Wow, come to church. So we're going to put this series on our website, Power of Prosperity. Pastor Jim, before we get to this song, why do we need to learn about the power of prosperity?
Well, think about how our economy is.
Let's think about that.
Yeah, well, let's not. Let's just talk about God's economy. And that's, I think, what it's all about is, as believers, believers, and we talked earlier about the word, God has rhema word in the Bible for prosperity.
Amen.
And
promises.
Yeah, he's got these promises in that we need to grasp hold of, because our personal economy is not bound by the world's economy.
Exactly.
Because our personal economy is based on the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's why we need, to get into the Word of God to find out what God says about our prosperity, because we don't have to be under the thumb of the world's economy.
Exactly. It's time to learn what Amen. God has to say. It's going to be a great series in the month of January. I'm excited. And I love this song. I played it every week for the last 3 weeks, for those of you that listen a lot. And it's because it's one of my favorites. It's The Messiah by Wynonna. We got to play it again.
It must have been something being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head. It must have been something, seeing three wise men. On their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the must have been something, speaking the word of your Father, with the promise of life and peace forever. Walk on the streets of Jerusalem, with the sins of the world on the innocence of a lamb. Soon everyone will know it's the
He's with us at last.
have been someday.
Praise God. I love
what
that.
What a great song.
Oh, it just goes all through me. The Messiah had finally come. Luke chapter 2, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. And we know that Joseph went to the town he had to go to, which was Bethlehem, because he was of the line
of David.
David, and David was born in Bethlehem, and he had to go there.
Right. And I just want to make a point here.
Yes.
Okay, the prophecy was that Jesus, the Messiah, had to be born in Bethlehem.
Exactly. Micah 5:2.
Right. And who does God move but the emperor of Rome to do this?
Right.
You know,
Perfect timing.
Caesar Augustus ordered
the census.
The census for the Roman world.
Right.
And that just amazes me. God moved.
Right.
The emperor of Rome to make sure that his son was born in Bethlehem.
Amazing and fantastic. Praise God. And God's timing, you know. And there it happened.
God's timing, God's place, God's person.
Absolutely. All of it. And so, of course, she gave birth and wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes. And they were common, poor. Really, the Dake's Bible says it was like little bandages. Mm-hmm. It was a sign that this child was poor. This child was not wrapped in silk or satin or anything like that. That would have been done if this was an upper class child that was born. And then we know at the same time, again, I love this, Pastor Jim, the timing of God. At the same time, there were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. And they had set watch over their sheep. And in the Message Bible, the next word is suddenly again. So here we have that whole setup again. Suddenly, number one, we have God's perfect timing. He has it all arranged. He knows exactly when he's going to send his son. He had to look down through history and say, I've got to send my son a time when he can die on a cross. We don't execute people on a cross today.
Right.
Jesus couldn't be born now. He couldn't have been born in a lot of history because that was not the form of execution. So, I mean, there had to be a certain time, did it not?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it had to fulfill prophecy of that same time frame.
Right. And that just, everything fit together. Well, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time had come, when the completeness of time had come, this was the perfect time for Jesus to come.
And in our lives, God has perfect timing.
Right.
And so often.
Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Now is the time, you know. And so often, though, I think we kick against God's timing in our lives. And it's a good thing Mary and Joseph got in line with the with the perfect timing. And so we see the shepherds did, too. And again, we see God's using another angel.
Another one.
And it does not say the name of this angel, but I kind of think maybe Gabriel was involved in a lot of this, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think this was his assignment, but we don't know. We'll ask him someday when we get to heaven. Gabriel, by the way, are you the angel that appeared to the shepherds? And the angel said, this is Luke 2, about verse 9-10, Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant. I love this in the Message Bible, and then you read it in your NIV. For everybody worldwide. What does it say in your... You do have NIV or...
English Standard.
Go ahead.
And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy.
Yes.
Which shall be to all people.
All people.
Not just some people, but all people.
Amen.
And I love that.
Amen. Go on.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Woo. And this is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket lying in a manger. How odd was that, but specific direction. You know, that was not something that happened every day, that a baby would be born in a manger or in a stable and put in a manger,
right.
You know, with hay. That was not a common thing. Babies were not, they were born in homes. They were born in inns. They were born.
Right.
Not in a stable with cows and pigs and whatever.
And donkeys. Think about, again, the humility.
Yes.
Born in a barn, for crying out. The Messiah,
yes.
The Lord of the world.
But he did that to show his humility, did
exactly.
he not? And being born to poor people. And when we go over a little bit, the sacrifice that Joseph and Mary brought
was for
the poor people, you know? So at once, I look at verse 13 of Luke chapter 2 with us. If you're just joining us, we're talking about, of course, the Christmas story. on December 26, 2010. At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. They were singing glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. What does it read in your translation? I love that. I love those two lines.
And suddenly, again, suddenly, mm-hmm. there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.
Woo, praise God. Glory to God and peace to each other, you know? As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, I don't know about you, but I bet there were some goosebumps as the shepherds sat there and looked up, and they were surrounded by all these angels singing.
Well, and
wow.
I love reading the story, you know, especially, you know, it's usually always read it, of course, around Christmas time, and I said, they just take it nice and slow, and here's the angel, an angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them.
Yes.
Okay, God's Shekinah glory.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
It's all around them.
Amen.
I mean, just God's visible presence was
there.
All around them.
Yes.
And no wonder they were afraid.
What?
You know?
How startling, number one, to have an angel appear and then have an angel choir descend.
Right.
This is not just one angel. I mean, Mary and, you know, Joseph had the dream. Zechariah had the visitation of the one angel. Mary had the visitation of the angel Gabriel. Now we see in Luke 2 that the shepherds have a choir.
Choir of angels.
Woo!
Yeah, a multitude of the heavenly host.
Man, I mean, how many thousands, I wonder, all came down and announced the birth to the shepherds. How exciting is that?
And,
wow.
I mean, okay, and you got the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
So, you know, it's
what is
showing,
the glory of the Lord, by the way? Well, tell our listeners.
Like in Exodus, the pillar of fire by
yes.
night. So
yes.
I'm picturing this.
It's the presence of
this
God.
This picture of, yeah. of a pillar of fire. Now, you know, Ooh. People in Bethlehem had to see this. They had to see the star.
Oh, my.
And then were the shepherds the only one that heard the choir?
Yeah.
Because if there were thousands of angels, that must have echoed off all the Judean hills.
Yes, yes.
For miles around.
Oh, I think it was mighty. I think it was huge.
You know, but again, we only have record that it was the shepherds.
Right.
And so I think it was kind of like when Paul got knocked off that donkey, when
right.
Paul got saved. The glory of the Lord shone around about him,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus spoke.
Right.
To him, and yet the people that were with him, they heard this noise, but they couldn't make it out. So I almost wonder if the song was just not for the shepherds. People may have heard, they may have seen this light and heard all this thundering noise.
But not have seen.
They didn't have the revelation of what it was.
You're probably right, because it doesn't say that anybody ran to see what was going on.
The only people that came were the
shepherds. But look what the shepherds did. I'm in verse 15 of Luke 2. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, can't you imagine the shepherds are going, sing that again, sing it again, please. I mean, how cool is this?
The shepherds,
come on. The shepherds talked it over. And I love what the shepherds say, because you see no doubt here with the shepherds. You don't see unbelief. You see their lives have been forever changed in this suddenly moment. Okay. They say, let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. That's the Message Bible. What does that say in your ESV?
Let's go over to Bethlehem to see the thing that has happened, that has happened.
That has happened.
Which the Lord has made known to us.
Okay, they don't say, let's go see if this is true, or if these, you know, these angels are telling the truth, or did we just dream this, or they don't say that, do they? There's no doubt in this.
There is no doubt at all. They say, let's go and see what has occurred.
Yeah. Let's
see
go
this
see
thing
what?
That's happened.
Woo. And I in the Message Bible, I love the next three words. They are these three words. They left running. That's what it says in the Message Bible.
And they went with haste.
With haste. Okay. They went
you
with
know,
haste.
They didn't just...
didn't think it over for a day or two?
And no. And they were excited. I think they really wanted to get there. They heard this message from the angels, and they were, man, it's a Savior. It's
yes.
the Messiah. It's the Lord.
Yes.
We got to get going.
We got to go. We've got to see this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so often in our human lives, when God speaks to us and we know it's God, and he says, do this, like write a check. When God tells me, you know, so many times through the years, God has said, write this check to this person or write an extra tithe or offering or something. And I know personally that if you just put it on the back burner and go, okay, I'll do that later, you can forget it. Or you can talk yourself out of it.
Right.
Or you can say, that must not have been God. That must have been the pizza I just ate. Whatever the case may be, we can talk ourselves out of obedience, don't you think?
Oh, it's so easy to do.
So I love the fact that the shepherds went with haste. They went running. They didn't sit around and debate, did you see that? Nah, I don't know. Did you see anything?
I'm not sure. They didn't waste any time.
No, I love that. And they left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, and the Message Bible has the next sentence is only three words. Seeing was believing. I like that. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child, and all who heard the shepherds were impressed. Can you read those verses and finish that little section through verse 20 in your translation?
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Wow. So they went immediately. They didn't sit around and let doubt
They
went to see what God had done, not if God had done it, what God had done. Okay. And Mary was, and like you made the point earlier on the show, that she was so impressed by what God was doing. She was pondering. You want to talk about pondering a minute before we go to this next song?
Sure. There's a couple of Greek words here. It says she treasured up. And that means, in Greek, that means to keep it in the forefront so you don't forget it, to store it away, but so you don't ever forget it.
Right.
And she pondered, which means she conferred within herself, like she meditated.
Yeah.
And I should note, the thing she was doing, that's rhema.
Right.
Again, it's that personal word. She took that from the shepherds and said, oh, wow, okay, confirmation time.
Confirmations. And God always says he will confirm what he tells you. And he had. God always confirms with at least two ways. And he confirmed with the wise men. He confirmed
with
the shepherds. And Mary and Joseph had to walk away from that situation going, oh, wow, this is really real. This is all true. Wow. And for him, this song says, that's a strange way to save the world.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him, 'cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. Standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to say the word. How it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved, there would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason, love.
love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him, with all the rulers in the world? Such a strange way to save the world. Oh.
Praise God.
Now I'm not a one to second guess what angels.
That is such a great song.
Isn't that a good song? The plan of God, you know, what a strange way to save the world, mm-hmm. you know, but it is, when you really study it, Pastor Jim, it's just so beautiful. All the details that come together, the prophecies fulfilled, and how every detail was fulfilled down to the last little thing.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And even with prophecies laid out,
yes,
most people, and that's what this song was referring to, most people were still looking, you know, for the for Jesus, the Messiah, to come down
right
with an army,
right, a political leader,
yeah, to wipe the Romans out,
right.
And that's not. I mean, he'll do that the next time he comes.
Yeah,
the first time though was for our sins,
right?
Was to, and that's, you know, again, an odd way to save the world.
Odd way. Woo. Praise yeah. God. If you're with just joining us, Luke chapter 2, about verse 19 or 20, after the shepherds went and saw the baby Jesus, it says that they returned, and in the Message Bible it says there, and I think verse 19 or 20, they let loose, it says, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
God always tells you what he's going to do, then he does it, and then he tells you he did it.
Mm-hmm.
There
right.
we go.
And that's what he did with the shepherds.
Yeah.
And I like the fact they didn't just go back and keep their mouths shut.
Right.
They went back glorifying and praising God, and just, they were like evangelizing.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Exactly.
There we go.
They were doing it.
All right, let's look at verse 21 of Luke 2. When the eighth day arrived, the day of circumcision, the child was named Jesus. Why? Because he had to be named Jesus, because that was God's plan from the foundation of the right. earth, that he would be named Jehovah, our salvation, Yeshua. The name given by the angel before he was conceived. Then when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took him up to Jerusalem to offer him to God as commanded in God's law. And now they have to bring a sacrifice, do they not, Pastor?
Yes, they do.
And there's different levels of sacrifice that they could have brought. One was a lamb, and if they brought a lamb... And I find it very interesting that even though Jesus became the Lamb of God and died on the cross for us, they did not bring a lamb here. But why didn't they bring a lamb, Pastor Jim?
They couldn't afford it.
They couldn't afford it. And so what they brought, what the offering that Mary and Joseph brought with the baby, was a pair of doves or two young pigeons. But they brought two of some bird,
right.
is what they
Either
brought.
Either two doves or two pigeons, because that was one kind of nice thing about the law. Purification was something that each woman had to go through after she had a child.
Right.
40 days if it was a male, 80 days if it was a female. So this would be 40 days after Jesus was born. And part of that purification was a sacrifice.
Right.
And... you know, the law stipulated, okay, this is what you need to bring, but if you can't bring that, if that's too much, you can bring the birds.
Right. You can do that. And two, in the word, is always talking about God and man, mm-hmm. God and us, okay? So here they come up to Jerusalem, and they run into a guy named Simeon. I love this story about Simeon. He was a very old man. He was a good man. He had lived in the prayerful expectancy. And we talked about it earlier in the show, that people were expecting the Messiah. And Simeon was one that hung around the temple all the time. And he was expecting the Messiah in his lifetime.
He had received a promise from God.
There he is again, receiving the promise and accepting it.
Right, that he would not die until he saw, and I love the way, the consolation of Israel.
Yeah.
You know, the Messiah called here the consolation of Israel. Simeon was not, he had been promised he would not die until that time. And so, you know, and I love what happens in that old miniseries, Jesus of Nazareth, from mid-70s.
Yes, I love that.
The scene with Simeon, that is so cool because Jesus, although it's not accurate because this was 40 days after, not at the circumcision, although in that, they circumcise Jesus, and Simeon hears it and goes running off. And it's like, you wonder, he was always hanging around the temple. They brought Jesus. Did he hear Jesus crying?
Yeah.
And was just drawn to it? Because what for whatever reason, he came in the spirit. You know, it says here, and he came in the spirit into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him in his arms and blessed God. The Spirit led Simeon there. Simeon happened to be at the temple at the exact right time. You know, sometimes we think God's timing is a little off. We wish it'd be faster. We wish it'd be slower. But if you just, again, if you're obedient.
Right.
And you're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you have to wait a long time.
And Simeon and Anna was also one of these that got to see the baby. Simeon says, God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. That's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's now out in the open for everyone else. There it is, the theme in Luke. Again, it's for everyone worldwide. It's for everyone,
right.
Not just the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations. I love that. Simeon understands this is not just for the Jewish people. It says for the non-Jewish nations also, and the glory of your people Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Simeon is like saying, God, he's prophesying, isn't he?
Yeah, this what's called the, you know, this little song of Simeon is a prophecy because he says, oh, Lord, thank you, because now I can go in peace. I can die now because I'm seeing your salvation.
Right.
I've seen your salvation.
Woo.
A light of revelation for the Gentiles. Thank the Lord that Jesus is our light of revelation, because otherwise we might still be worshiping rocks and sticks.
Right. Yes.
I mean, quite obviously. But here he is, a light of revelation for the Gentiles. And the glory of your people Israel.
Yeah. Ooh.
You know, Paul said salvation, Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. Paul said to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Gentiles.
Yeah, all of us.
You know, all of us are included in this. And Jesus is our light of revelation.
Amen. And Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And, you know, that's what was happening here. Suddenly, Simeon and Anna, who had been obedient, these are old people that hung around the temple. They had been promised by God. And if you don't hear anything else in this show today, maybe you should go back and listen to it on our website and get this, because the point is God does give us promises.
Mm-hmm.
God does fulfill his word. God does do what he says he's going to do. And he did with Simeon and with Anna. Go ahead.
Well, and just to finish up the Simeon story, he says, you know, his father and mother marveled at this. Okay, had she stopped treasuring these things in her heart? Because here comes like a new revelation.
Right.
Ooh, okay, cool. And Simeon blessed them. And then he said to Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is to be opposed. Well, who wants to hear that about your child?
Right.
You know, I'm reading this, I'm thinking, okay, I don't want, you know, talking about my child, is like, I don't think I want to hear anymore. Well, then he goes on to say, and a sword's going to pierce your own heart, too.
Yes, talk about that.
Well, you know, Jesus was a sign of contradiction.
Right.
because he wasn't, he did not come as the Messiah. We've mentioned this before, that everybody thought he should be.
They thought he was, they were looking for a political
ruler. They were going to make him a political king on more than one occasion. And he said, no, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to allow this to happen. That's not what I came for.
Right. Exactly.
And he did not allow them to push him into this.
Exactly.
Into, even into the crucifixion before it was his time, because he said, my hour, my time has not yet come.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't.
He knew he wasn't the political leader they were looking
right,
for.
He was just full of contradictions.
Exactly.
And he was appointed for the rising and falling of many in Israel. And then Simeon looked at Mary and said, and a sword is going to pierce your heart too.
It's going to be painful, Mary.
And she was at the cross with him. She was at the cross with
him. I mentioned that this morning. And I, you know, it just blesses me to know Mary did not ever give up.
Right.
She was a part of the prayer meeting in Acts chapter 1 when they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit to descend. Mary was a true believer.
Exactly.
You know, she didn't just, her part was not just giving birth to Jesus and raising him as his mother. She was a part of the whole plan.
Right.
You know?
And once Jesus had risen again and ascended into heaven, she was a part of the body.
Yes.
Then. And, you know, she faithfully was there at the prayer meeting. And, you know, I think it's an El Greco painting of the day of Pentecost. There's Mary right in the middle of this painting.
Yes.
Receiving the Holy Spirit. I mean, she got, you know, the flames.
Woo,
the tongues of fire on her head.
Well, it said they all received the Holy Spirit.
And that includes
Mary. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, not just carried the baby Jesus. That was not her only role.
Right.
She was part of the first missionaries that went out filled with the Holy Spirit and laying hands on the sick and praying for them and telling them about her son, Jesus. I mean, amazing. I can't wait to talk to Mary in heaven.
Oh, me too.
Woo.
I can't wait. And then there was this prophetess, Anna.
And then there's Anna. Here comes Anna. Who's Anna?
The daughter of Phanuel.
And this is verse 36 of Luke 2.
And she was of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84. And some versions say she lived as a widow 84 years. So she could have been around, she was either 84, somewhere between 84 and 100.
Yeah, I've calculated it out that she was about 106 or 107 based on just, you know, 7 years plus 84, 91, plus she was probably 15 when she first got married.
Yeah.
So that makes her about 106 or 107. So,
and she did not depart from the temple. She was always there worshiping, fasting, praying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's commitment.
Oh.
I mean, let's get right down in the dirt here.
Prayer
with
warrior.
This she was a prayer warrior.
I mean, Anna.
Ooh. You know, sometimes you think, oh, man, it is going to be so hard to pray.
Yeah.
I have so much to do.
Right. And yet that's the main responsibility
right.
we have.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe it was such that she could set herself apart. And there are some people who are called to be intercessors.
Right.
And I fully believe Anna was that. And if that's your ministry, God's going to provide. And he did provide for Anna. Mm-hmm. So she was in the temple praying all the time. And, you know, let me see. Where is that?
You're
she
in about
did not
verse
depart from
37,
the temple,
8.
Worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night and coming at that very hour. Again, coming
perfect
up
timing.
At that very hour,
perfect timing.
She began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, okay, again, Simeon is there at the right time.
Right.
Anna is there at the right time. She sees the baby. She knows this is the Messiah, and she starts talking to everybody.
This is it. This is him.
This is
the baby. This is the one we've been waiting on, the Messiah. Can you just see how excited she and Simeon had to be?
Oh,
They'd
yeah.
been waiting all these years, had been faithful
right.
to God's plan for them, and they had been promised, both Simeon and Anna. And I find it really cool that it's a man and a woman, because again, Luke is showing us here, it's for everybody.
Right.
It's not just for the males. It's not just for the females. It's for all of us.
Who's Simeon again?
He was just this prophet that was walking around in the temple all the time, waiting on the baby Jesus, the Messiah. And he was there at the right time when Mary and Joseph came in.
The program that takes over when nobody's here? Simeon.
Oh, really?
ain't that neat?
That's cool. So perfect timing here. Just perfect timing. And Anna and Simeon believed that they would see
right.
the Messiah.
And they did.
And they did. You know, and that's what's so critical here is believing that you will receive. And no matter what our listening audience are going through, that's what God is asking us to do. Now, we want to do another song here, and then Pastor Jim and I are going to come back and wrap all this up because we've said a lot of things here. This one is one I wanted to play one more time before we get out of this Christmas season. I just had to play it one more time. Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know walked where angels try? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God.
Jesus, the great I am.
Amen.
Jesus said in the book of John, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. You know, I am the vine. You know, all these things that he said he was. But I love the fact that he says, I am the light of the world. In the New American Standard, that is John 8:12, and it says this. I am, this is Jesus talking, the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. And that is what we're talking about at this Christmas season. Following Jesus, the great I am, the light of the world, you have the light for your life that you need. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Simeon, Anna, Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zechariah were following God. And they, because they were waiting and expecting God to do something in, mm-hmm. in this time frame, not knowing they would be used so mightily. Even Simeon and Anna were used mightily to confirm to people right. around, this is him, this is the baby Jesus, this is the Messiah, you know? Wow. And being obedient. I mean, Anna could have not been as dependable, not been as faithful to wait for that child. She could have given up. If she's over 100 years old, she could have given up a long time
ago.
Years before, and said, when is this ever going to happen? This isn't going to happen. And I think that is one of the lessons of the Christmas season, Pastor Jim, is that God is speaking to our hearts and saying, expect me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Expect me to change you. Expect me to move in your life. Expect me to heal your body. Expect me to provide for you. Expect me to change you from the inside out. Expect your miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Expect it. Go ahead. That's my little, what I was feeling right then when I was hearing that. Mary, did you know? You know?
And it is true. And I mean, and I made this point earlier that Christmas is not the stopping point.
Right.
And it's like we don't just go from this right to Resurrection Sunday.
Right.
I mean, you know, those are the two high points, but we don't just skip from one to the other. There's looking at Jesus' life and saying, okay, and remembering Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in Galilee when he walked here, he does still today.
Exactly.
Heals. He brings peace. He brings deliverance.
Amen.
He saves.
Yes.
Just like he did then, he does it now. He'll do it up until the end of this age.
Amen. That's what it's all about. February, we're starting a new series about that very thing, the life of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to call it. Maybe tell me the story of Jesus or something. I don't know. But we're going to have a really cool series up until Resurrection Sunday that's really going to bless our listening audience and teach us about that life of Jesus and really get us into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in a way that maybe perhaps we've never been in before and really understood it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the story here of Jesus does not end with him at 8 days old or at 40 days old. It's just the beginning right. of his life, the 33 years that he lived on this earth and what he did and what he accomplished, and that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, we've got to go back to the obedience of these principal characters in the life of Jesus. They were needed.
They were needed.
God needed people like he needs now,
well,
you know?
Each of them played a part because Zechariah and Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one who prepared the way for Jesus.
Yes.
John went out into the desert. Preached repentance, had a baptism for repentance.
Yes.
Talked about the coming of the Messiah. So they, in their obedience, they began to prepare the way of the Lord.
Amen.
Mary and Joseph, Mary's obedience, the Holy Spirit came upon her. The glory cloud of God overwhelmed her, and she conceived.
Yes. Because she was obedient, because she was willing and obedient.
Right. And then Joseph had the vision of the angel.
Yeah.
And decided to be obedient, was obedient, took Mary as his wife.
Yes.
And Jesus was born.
Yes. And the shepherds.
The shepherds were obedient. The angel appeared to them. They ran off. Okay, I can't wait to see this. Anna and Simeon both had been looking for the Redeemer for so long.
Right.
And in their obedience, God graced them by allowing them to see Jesus.
Yes. And hold him. I don't know mm-hmm. if they actually got to hold him, but at least they got to see them. And I want to go back here for just a minute. Verse 38, I think it is, of Luke 2, maybe 37. At that very time, again, we want to make this point today, God's perfect timing. At that very time, Simeon was praying. Anna shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect timing. Broke into an anthem of praise to God. She didn't sit there and going, no, this can't be. She was suddenly so aware of God's perfect timing. And there she was. It says, at that time.
Well, and that's exactly what I want for me.
Right.
And I think for everybody at Beacon, is that we would be little Annas, little Simeons.
Yes.
Really looking for, wanting to get into the Word.
Yes.
So that, and always willing, always being willing to be obedient, always listening for God, always being sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because you never know when you're going to get to take Jesus up in your arms.
Right.
Just like Simeon.
Woo. You never know when a door is going to open like opened for Nan and I today at the restaurant where we were to minister to someone.
Mm-hmm.
You do not know when God is going to open that door, you know, and oh, what a blessing. What a blessing.
Amen.
Praise God. I love this story. Pastor Jim, how do we walk away from this Christmas season and not be changed? And I really believe that there are some, even maybe in our audience, that go, oh, I've heard that story, da, 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 da. You know, and don't really allow the Holy Spirit to change them at this time of year.
My humanness wants to grab. How could you not?
Right.
You know, it's just so important.
Right.
I mean, this is, first of all, this is not just a story. This right. isn't like a Christmas carol.
Right.
Although I love that story, too. This is truth.
This is truth.
This happened.
This is historical. This happened.
This happened.
Yes.
And you can't ignore it. You know?
You can't ignore all the details of how they come hand in glove and how right. they all fit together with the prophecies that were prophesied clear back to the book of Genesis,
but,
that God was going to do this.
You can ignore them.
Yes, you can.
If you willfully want to. But, you know, what more? I guess there's an old song by a group called Lamb.
Yes, I remember Lamb.
Do you need an engraved invitation?
Right.
You know? And we've talked about how the Christmas story isn't the end of it. Jesus went on to be our sacrifice. And in that song, they talk about, you know, it refers to that scripture, but I've engraved you in the palms of my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's talking there about the wounds that Jesus would receive on the cross.
Yes.
What more could he do for us? You know, he took on our humanity, our flesh. This is God we're talking about. We're not talking about some half man, half God. We're talking about somebody who was fully human, body, soul, and spirit, and yet fully divine.
God.
Fully God. And, you know, God had to become a man so that humanity, could be saved.
Exactly.
God had to become human so that humans could be saved.
Absolutely.
Because only a human could experience all that, but only God could atone for the sins.
Amen. If there's anybody in our audience right now that is not positive that you are saved, not positive that you're a child of the living God, that if you happen to pass into eternity tonight, would you be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? If you're not sure of that and you can't say absolutely, yes, I'm saved, born again, I'm a believer. If you're not positive of that, repeat this prayer right now. Pastor Jim, if you'll repeat it after me, then they can say it with you and they can accept, because it is by the confession of our mouth, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him
from the dead,
we shall be saved.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name.
I ask you to forgive me for any and every.
I ask you to forgive me for any and every
thing that I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you.
Thing that I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you.
I want to accept you now.
I want to accept you now.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that the Jews were waiting on.
I believe that Jesus is the Messiah that the Jews are waiting on.
And I believe right now that God raised Jesus from the dead.
And I believe right now that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I accept you now, Lord Jesus.
I accept you now, Lord Jesus.
Into my heart by faith.
Into my heart by faith.
I am your child.
I am your child.
And you are my Lord and Savior.
And you are my Lord and Savior.
I begin my life with you right this moment.
I begin my life with you right this moment.
Teach me your ways.
Teach me your ways.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! We invite you to let us know if you have prayed that prayer with us. And you can do that very simply. You can talk to me directly on email by just going to pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's pretty easy. And ministries has an IES on the end of it.
Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Pastor Jim, do you have a final thought?
Well, I just want to wish everybody, first of all, belated by one day, but a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Truly, Merry in the sense of a blessed Christmas. That all of us, if we, you know, maybe if we're not saved, if you didn't pray that prayer, that you would.
Yes.
Really consider, you know, Jesus.
Amen.
Really honestly search in the Bible. Find out about Jesus. for those of you that are believers, I just want to wish you that my prayer is that God would continue to bless and work in your lives and that miracles occur before this time next year.
Amen.
Really looking forward to it.
And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we invite you. Thank you, Pastor Jim, for being on today. We invite you to come to Beacon of Hope. We are on Almerton Road, 3700. We invite you to visit our website, and it will tell you about our service times, which are Sunday at 11, a worship service, complete with music, preaching, praying for the sick, and the needs that you might have. Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock, mm-hmm. same location. You can bring your dinner. We set up tables. We're informal. We have a great time, don't we? 7 o'clock to 8:30 on Wednesday nights. We will not have Wednesday night this week only.
Right. Just this week.
Just for the holiday. And so we also want you to go to our website, and you can find out about my new book. You can actually email me or go. You can actually put in MarciaMcAllister.com, and that's a website now. And you will find out. Yeah, go there. MarciaMcAllister.com. Maxine's just set it up, and all three of my books are on there. And in particular, this new one, Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. And we invite you to check that out. You can order from Amazon.com, or you can order from us at Beacon of Hope Ministries and save the postage, and we'll pay for that. So we welcome you. If you know anybody who has an addiction, this story is about my daughter. It's her life story, Lori's life story. And she is in a minimum security prison right now in southern Indiana, and doing great. She's in a drug rehab unit. So God bless her, and read her story. And most people tell me they cry a lot through the book. So anyway, we invite you to find out all about Lori's story. And so we invite you to share with us again next week on this radio station. We have been here almost 4 years. And on February 6th, we will celebrate our 200th show. Woo! How about that? Yeah, that is a big round of applause. On February 6th, Super Bowl Day, that's just how it landed. What can we say? 200th show, that is exact day that it landed on Super Bowl Sunday, and we will be here for a great time. We're always here live. Tell a friend about Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and join us again next week at 4 o'clock Amen. On this station. God bless you. If you know somebody that you want them to hear this show, go to our website anytime after tomorrow around noon, and it'll stay on our website at beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can hear this show again as many times as you want. God bless you. Have a great week. It's been Pastor Marcia and Pastor Jim. We've Amen. Had fun, haven't we, Pastor Amen. Jim? It's not far to Jesus, dear ones, and we want you to know that God loves you so very much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So join us next week at 4 o'clock on this radio station. Have a great week, and write us prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com if you have a prayer need. Woo! That's about it, Pastor Jim.
Amen.
All right. See you next week.
Safely to his side. There's no